Christmas in the United States, it's more than a holiday. It's a state of mind, an industry, and a whole world way beyond the North Pole. Christmas here comes with animatronic reindeer and pre-lit artificial trees and big boxes from big box stores, a whole lot of flashing lights, and of course, relentless optimism. Where is this form of American Christmas the most spectacular? Why, in Texas, of course, where everything is bigger. Hank Stuever crashed the Christmas party by immersing himself in the lives of three families in Frisco, Texas. His new book, Tinsel, explains why Christmas is so bright there, even when times are tough. Hank Stuever joins me here in a moment, but first we want to hear from you. Tell us about your most spectacular Christmas display or tradition or moment, and what does it mean to your Christmas? The number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Hank Stuever is the author of Tinsel, A Search for America's Christmas Present. He joins me here in Studio 3A. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
First of all, why Frisco, Texas?
You know, I started this book in 2006, and I followed three Christmases, 2007, 2008. And early on, I had a weatherman from the a meteorologist from the National Weather Service draw me a line across the map of the United States, and I said, I really want everything below the line to sort of guarantee me a fake snow Christmas, you know, like some place where people would only yearn for white Christmas. And he said, well, you're in luck. That line is getting higher every year. Of course, we just got a big dump of snow here in Washington, so
right.
You know, might be a little white here. But I picked Frisco because it has 7 million square feet of chain retail shopping. One thing that the Christmas story is in America is an economic story. It's a $500 billion event in our lives. It steamrolls everything. And so much of our economy literally hangs in the balance based on whether or not people get to the mall and get out their credit card. So I wanted to go to one of those newfangled 21st century American places that are built around malls and box stores and big houses and big churches. And the demographics led me to Frisco.
And why Christmas?
Christmas intersects everything that means anything to us. It intersects our spiritual lives, our families, our politics, and certainly our economy, and our television and our movies and everything that we, you know, think about buying or wish to buy. For 6 weeks, it sort of holds us in its grip. And it works a number on us. It is mentally fraught, emotionally fraught. And, you know, no one had ever done any journalism on Christmas. There's a lot of memoir and a lot of fiction and a lot of history, some of it really well researched and some of it not so researched. But no one had set out to just tell the modern story of the suburban American experience of Christmas and Santa Claus and baby Jesus and shopping and all of that.
Did you worry that you would be, you know, East Coast media elite swanning in and poking fun at how people in flyover country go crazy for Christmas?
I did worry about that, which is why I committed to doing more than one Christmas and to moving there myself. And I also got to draw on my background a little bit. I was born in the Bible Belt. I was born and raised in Oklahoma. These are my people, my meemaws and my nanas and all the fabulous old ladies that I've always gravitated to. They control the Christmas of you know, the American experience of Christmas, and they're very dear to me. These people, I say these people. These are my people. That doesn't mean I can't make fun of them. In fact, it might make my eye a little more sharp about them. But I never thought about just parachuting in and making fun of them and getting the heck out. I went back for two more Christmases.
Well, among other things, it would have been supremely rude to make fun of them solely because they really welcomed you into their houses families.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
To an amazing degree.
I mean, imagine. I'm 6'1". I'm 200 pounds. I'm from Washington, D.C. You know, I'm probably your worst nightmare of, you know, left coast media elite. And I show up at your church or at the mall, or I meet you in the parking lot at Best Buy on Black Friday, and I ask if I can follow you all the way through Christmas. And what does that mean? You know, well, it means I want to hang out with you when you go grocery shopping or to the mall or to church or to your kids' volleyball games. I mean, I really embedded, you know, to borrow a phrase from the military journalist, you know, I'm embedded with these families and was with them all the time. And that is a big gift that they gave me, was being themselves with a man with a notebook in their house on Christmas Eve, on Christmas morning, you know.
Well, let's talk about the families for a minute. Let's start with the folks who put on this amazing display, the house that everyone drives by every Christmas.
Right.
And, I mean, I haven't seen it, and still pictures don't do it justice, because I understand it's all timed with
music.
It
is. You know, if you go on YouTube to Frisco Christmas, do a search on Frisco and Christmas, you'll find Jeff and Bridget's house. This is a young couple in their early 30s who every year put 50, 60,000 bulbs on their house and lawn and trees. And these are all timed to dance to music. And so this has created quite a sensation. And so there's probably half a mile of traffic tonight outside their house, backed up maybe even a mile, trying to get in and see the show. I mean, it's the Griswold story, right? It's the house that could be seen from outer space. What drew me to them also was the family dynamic, their relationship, their extended family. Once you get inside the house that can be seen from outer space, of course, the inside is so much more interesting, that the relationships and the people.
Let's hear from Todd in Portland, Oregon. Todd, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, it's good to be talking to you.
Yeah, well, welcome to the show.
Thanks. So I really got a smile on my face when you started this, because I'm originally from Dallas. Probably if I was still there, I'd be living in Frisco right now. But when my wife and I first got married, we lived in Richardson and would drive down the street every night during the season. There was this one house right on the corner, and your guest just made a comment about the Griswold house. That's exactly what we called that house. And it was so bright, and eventually, even their garage, they took their garage door off and replaced it with a plexiglass door with animated displays inside it.
And that sounds that sounds completely normal to me now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny, because I think it's a bit of an extension of kind of a dynamic in Texas, being a Texan, and honestly proud of it. But, you know, there's kind of a dynamic of always keeping up with the Joneses there.
And
I think that's what's happened over the last 10 or 15 years with these Christmas displays.
Right, right.
Todd, thanks for your call. Oh, that's certainly a dynamic you ran into.
Keeping up with the Joneses is a huge theme of this book. I mean, the race to have bigger and better and prettier and newer. The town itself was an expression of keeping up with you know, the suburb immediately south of it. You know, that house in Richardson, I may know that house. I think I've heard about that house. There's another house in Richardson that had that many lights, and then the neighbors just put up a question mark in lights on their garage, which there's been a picture going around this year of someone's house all done like that, and the neighbor just put ditto on the garage. You know, it brings out, like, the comical snarkiness in people. For every person who loves to go over the top for Christmas, there's somebody always very nearby willing to make a snarky comment about what they've done to themselves at Christmas time.
My guest is Hank Stever. The book is called Tinsel, A Search for America's Christmas Present. In the vein of keeping up with the Joneses, one of the women who let you follow her around, Tammy Parnell, it was basically her job to make sure everybody's house was perfectly decorated.
All the Jones kept up with one another. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Tammy is lives in a gated community. She's very involved with her kids' schools. Her husband is a vice president at a major clothing company. But 2 months a year, she hires herself out, and her business is called Two Elves with a Twist. And she will come decorate your McMansion, your 5,000-square-foot house for you for Christmas, which is an overwhelming job for most people. And she'll get out all of your Christmas decorations and figure out what else you need, which she'll sell you at a slight markup. You know, it costs about $1,000 a day to hire Tammy to really do it upright. And this involves...
And describe what that looks like when she's really done a scene.
When you walk in, you know, there's the main, what I call the lawyer foyer, which is the vaulted ceiling entryway. And you've got like 12 or 14-foot tree, you know, all done. I mean, to within perfection, theme, feathers, ribbons, bows, birds. Whatever the theme is, you know. And then you would have another tree in a family room, which would be the family tree with the multicolored lights and maybe the heirloom ornaments from Nana and Meemaw. And then you would have a tree in your media room. You would want to Tammy loves it when people have trees in their master bedrooms. You need a tree for the baby's room. It's not just one tree. And there's a lot of plastic garland involved. You need garland going up your grand staircase.
Any of these trees actual from nature trees, by the way?
No, Tammy explained to me early on about life in Frisco, that fake is okay here. And I think that's a theme running through the book. Fake is okay. If you're going to ever fall in love with Christmas again, you have to embrace the fact that fake is okay here. no matter where you are.
Well, I have an aunt who used to say Christmas was licensed to be tacky.
Exactly. I love that. Yeah, that's it.
The third woman who let you into her life was Carol Cavazos. Am I pronouncing
Cavazos,
that correctly?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she...
she and I met...
Not showy.
Not showy. One of the few people I met in Frisco who really hews to a budget at Christmas time. She has three children. She's a single mom. Her kids, at the time I started following them, her kids ranged in age from 10 to 27. And she had budgeted $1,200 for Christmas shopping, $300 per kid, and then $300 for everybody else. And I met them. They were camped out at Best Buy on Black Friday. I was out there, you know, trying to decipher that insanity that happens every year. And Carol and Marissa almost literally took me by the hand and took me through it that day, and we've been hanging out ever since. She's very involved in her church. It's a real big... kind of a mega church. You know, they did a big Christmas pageant that they were really involved in. And you know, for her, Christmas is the one time that the glass seems half full and not half empty. She struggles really hard to always remain positive, which I think makes her emblematic of a lot of Americans who just, you know, come what may, we're always told to make ourselves happier and be positive. And Christmas is really a freight train coming full of that. You know, it really, if there's something wrong with you, if you're not happy at Christmas time. And so I sort of painted the holiday through her, you know, what she was experiencing.
How big a part is the role of Christ's birth in all of this?
Big, if you ask people, you know, and then, of course, as we all know, the message gets confused. And my book really goes into that, people sort of trying to find some mysterious unknown balance between the secular and the religious, and always losing out when the visa bill comes, you know. That's really the heart of the book.
Well, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. My guest is Hank Stuever, and we want to hear your spectacular Christmas traditions or moments or just an unbelievable display that you have driven by or taken part in. You can call us at 800-989-8255, or you can send us email, talk@npr.org. Let's hear from Steve in Buffalo. Steve, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi. For a number of years, I was performing Sandland Diaries by David Sedaris as a one-man show. And at first, it was just sort of a good way for a performer to get a little bit of extra money at the holidays. But what actually blew me away was around about the second or third year, I noticed I was getting a lot of repeat audience members. And at one point, people were saying, you know, this is our cousin from California. We brought them here to, you know, for holidays, and we all came to see this like we do every year. And I just kind of all of a sudden realized, oh, my gosh, I am now part of this family's let's all pile into the car and go do this holiday thing.
Right, right.
And I just felt like this massive weight of responsibility all of a sudden. I was just kind of like in it for the lark, and then the show really kind of meant that much more to me at that point.
Right.
Because I was like, wow, this is what they do. I am what they do.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That David Sedaris material on Christmas has been with us now, if you think about it, for 14, 15 years. And it filled an incredible void that had existed up until then, as far as snarky Christmas goes. People really need a valve to sort of affirm some of the contradictory feelings that they're having about the part of the holiday that insists that we all be happy, that we all be from perfect families, that nobody's a drunk. You know, Sedaris stepped right into that and scintillated so much about people's negative but not bad feelings about Christmas. You know, that there was sort of a pejorative Christmas out there ready to be strip-mined by modern humorists, definitely.
Well, I also like his point about becoming somebody else's family tradition.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a responsibility. Yeah. The Tchaikovskys must feel that way, that
they
people
do.
Drive by their house
They do.
Annually.
In fact, one reason Jeff does these lights, a big reason he does it is because he asks people to bring food for the local food bank. As they drive by, they can donate food. But another reason he started it was Frisco, Texas was one of those towns that was a lot of pasture not very long ago, and in the last decade and a half has gone from 6,000 people to more than 100,000 people, all of whom are from somewhere else very much like Frisco, a big box store, mall world kind of town. And Jeff realized that these places are sort of bereft of anything that feels like tradition or authenticity. You've got your Olive Garden and Red Lobster and all the comforts, but you don't have the sense that we've always been here and we've always done something this way. So he very strongly feels that he is helping his town have something where they can say within a very few years, we always do this, you know.
Well, also, he's frankly an Aggie tech geek and likes the computer challenge.
He totally is. Yeah. He's made his career around helping other people's computer challenges. So, yeah.
So how have your feelings about Christmas changed?
You know, I get asked that question a lot. And I wrote about Christmas because Christmas sort of freaks me out. Like, it's so big and people have so much expectation heaped upon it that they can only come out of it with a smidgen of melancholy amid all that joy. My feelings about Christmas are that sort of the crazy, commercial, crowded Black Friday kind of parts of it are actually more in line with the very ancient solstice festivals that created Christmas, which were street riots, you know, party, Girls Gone Wild, Mardi Gras, Halloween, all of that sort of rolled into one was Christmas originally. Before the Victorians got a hold of it, after the Puritans got rid of it, you know, what we came out with was this sweet, lovely, tender home and hearth Christmas. Now I understand Christmas as a big street riot, and it makes a whole lot, much more sense.
Hank Stiver's book is called Tinsel, A Search for America's Christmas Present. You can actually read more about his 5 a.m. Black Friday visit to Best Buy in an excerpt on our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Hank Stiver also covers pop culture for The Washington Post. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas.
To you, too. Tomorrow, adapting to a new job market, we'll talk with people who are reinventing themselves professionally to find work. Neil Conan will be back for that conversation. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts.